All right, it's the start of a new month. You know, we missed you in June. It was the rescheduled primary election day. So we have a little while here that we've been able to catch up. It's July already. Right. Thanks for being here on Ask the Mayor. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a beautiful day. Glad to be with you.
So just looking at numbers, we've usually been starting the show talking about the coronavirus. I see Bartholomew County, you know, has 578 cases, 44 deaths, 6,300 tested. Of course, these numbers change every day as right. things get updated. But, you know, as we touched upon, you know, the last time, besides Jackson County, those two counties in Bartholomew, kind of the highest in southern Indiana, more than double than Monroe. Does that concern you?
No, not really. You know, it's really hard to make sense in for me out of those numbers. But I jokingly tell some of the people around here was that when I was at IU, I took two classes in statistics, and I did reasonably well, but that was 45 years ago. You know, so I've lost a little bit since then. But the point is that I don't know that we have a representative sample or a statistically valid sample in terms of the people we've selected to take these tests. I mean, the selection criteria usually involves people who are symptomatic or have been exposed to folks who are. And so, you know, you should get a little higher incidence of positives out of that. And I really don't know how that would compare to other counties. As I think I mentioned, you know, some other, maybe last month or another interview, they tend to run together for me, but what the statistic that we follow most closely is the inpatient census at Columbus Regional. What we're trying to measure there is the extent to which sick people exist and they use the healthcare system and by their use, you know, make it unavailable for others. And what we've seen is that most recently the number of inpatients at CRH is 2. I mean, that was the last number I got. It's been as low as 0, as high as 20. And what that indicates to us is that while the virus is present in our community, we've not had an extreme incidence of significant infection and infection greater than what we can treat. And so so we feel pretty good about those numbers. And as we sit here, we're contemplating, you know, going to stage 5 in the governor's reopening plan this weekend. And we'll have a group that meets tomorrow that will try to evaluate whether, you know, Bartholomew County is prepared to march forward with the state of Indiana. And at this point, it would certainly seem that we are. You know, we're mindful of what's going on down south and out west and are concerned that, you know, those kind of numbers could migrate our way. There was an article in this morning's paper about Evansville and a little bit of a surge that occurred just either overnight or over the weekend. And so that's concerning. But right now, we've been able to post some decent results here in Bartholomew County, and we feel good about that.
So is that the measuring stick for the officials for that meeting tomorrow, is the hospitalization count right now that it's so low that you feel like you're on a good track to move to stage 5?
Yeah, there are several metrics we look at, and some of those are ones that you've mentioned, but the primary one is inpatient census at Columbus Regional.
I see like Bloomington and Indy, some Columbus restaurants are doing outside dining. Is the street, mm-hmm. is the city closing streets for that?
Yeah, we have the ability on 4th Street to close sections of the street. One of the improvements that was made in the downtown area several years ago was what we called our entertainment district. And there are some gates down there that allow us to close a block of 4th Street at a time between Washington Street and Jackson and between Washington Street and Franklin. And that in turn allows some of the restaurants to place tables and umbrellas and chairs, you know, out there so that they can serve more patrons without having to, you know, run afoul of the physical distancing rules. And so far, the reaction's been pretty positive, both from the restaurateurs who appreciate the extra volume, but among people in the community who appreciate the opportunity to get out and just enjoy, you know, a burger and a beer. So it's It's been a good thing, and we've, like I say, it's been pretty well received by both sides of that situation.
If the governor decides not to move forward to stage five or pushes it back another week, is Columbus going to follow pretty much what the governor does, or are you going to go on your own?
No, I don't. We'll see when we get there. But we've said before that we won't move any faster than state of Indiana. We may move a little slower, you know, if local conditions warrant, but I don't see us moving any faster.
You know, we've been reporting a lot on school reopening plans. Are you concerned or been part of any discussion for the schools in Columbus in terms of reopening for this fall? Because that's coming up soon, isn't it?
It'll be here before you know it. But there is a time, there is a point where it seems like some of these days drag on. You know, I mean, it just, I want to get on to the next chapter. But we're concerned. But to this point, the school corporation here has been very realistic, you know, with respect to what they're trying to do, what they know they need to do. Very cautious, and so they've put the kids' health front and center, along with the teachers and the other administrators. So I'm pretty confident they'll come up with a process that will take all that into account, take everybody's safety into account.
How about some of these projects that we, you know, have talked about, of course, over the years of doing this show? One for sure is that I know is ongoing is the overpass, the railway overpass, right, on State Road 46. Of course, we have in the newsroom, we've been doing a lot of these Zoom interviews, so I haven't been able to get to Columbus for a few months. I don't see it. How's it going?
It's going great. You need to come over here just for fun. I mean, just drive on this thing. What we were able to open at the end of last week, the eastbound lanes. So the inbound to downtown is open. And they did that so that they could begin to work on the tie-in for the westbound lanes. So, you know, they've got to be able to cross the way the eastbound lane sits. You've got to be able to cross those to get to the westbound lanes. So we're driving on it. I mean, if you come into town, you're able to fly right over the railroad tracks and State Road 11, which is really kind of neat. There's plenty of work yet to do. The pavement that's there is not the final pavement. There's another asphalt overlay that will occur. The markings that you see there are temporary. Those will come up and be replaced by permanent street paint, whatever they call it. And I think we're, you know, we had talked previously about being able to drive on this by Christmas. I think we're going to beat that, pretty handily. All we need is some more fair weather. The weather so far has been outstanding for construction. And, you know, one of the bright spots of the COVID issue is that the decreased traffic has actually helped these guys, you know, in terms of being able to move dirt around. So, I think they're ahead of schedule. I mean, they're pretty noncommittal when you ask them about that, as I would be if I was in their shoes. But it's coming along neat. It's fun to watch something you've worked on for several years, actually come to fruition.
What about the status of the conference center? Is that on hold right now, or is that still moving forward?
Yeah, it is. The conference center is tied with the hotel, right now, financing for that kind of project is just difficult to come by. The developer team that we have partnered with on this is Sprague Developers, and they assure us that they're interested in going forward. That we will be their next project, but the financiers, the bankers, are just cautious. As I would be if I was in their shoes. We anticipate that the hotel conference center and the attendant parking garage may be delayed by about a year, just to allow for the economy to recover and for the lenders to be able to adequately assess the value of the project. You know, there's another piece to that project just south of Second Street, on the other side of Second Street and one block east, and that is a mixed-use development that would include an urban grocer and some apartments. And that one continues on schedule. The financing for that is not really affected by the coronavirus. And so So we expect that one to move forward. And, you know, we had been sort of moving these, trying to move them together at the same time or moving forward at the same time. And we've set that aside. We're going to go forward with what we call the mixed use development and let the hotel conference center catch up when it can.
You know, another interesting project I wanted to ask you about was the Fair Oaks Mall repurposing project, because that's something that, you know, the city bought moving forward, thinking about an indoor sports type recreation facility. And right, now with the pandemic, that doesn't sound like such a great idea.
Well, you know, times change, and we'll, you know, we'll motor through this as well. But, you know, part two or three things going on that affect this. One is that the people who are working on the Fair Oaks project are now helping guide our response to the coronavirus. And you really can't do two things at once, or you can't do them well, both of them. So, you know, we don't really have the staff available to us that we had previously. Number two, we've begun to be a little cautious about our tax receipts and the extent to which, you know, we'll be able to post receipts that are consistent with what we had when we contemplated the purchase. And it's going to take a little while before we get confident again that we'll have the revenue that we need, because we had anticipated paying for a good portion of this out of our economic development income tax. And we just don't really know yet how that's going to be affected. At the same time, you know, our partner, Columbus Regional, has also had its attention diverted, you know, by the same, you know, coronavirus issue. And, you know, their revenues have taken a hit as well. You know, great many people have deferred elective surgeries and other kind of healthcare activities. So, you know, we're both just going to take a little pause here. And once the coronavirus dust settles, we'll get back together and see where we are.
Will there be a time to look at the use of this? Will it change a little bit, or is it too hard to say?
A little hard to say right now. I mean, part of what had driven our decision was the status of Donner Center. Donner Center is an old building, 70, 75 years old, and it's in it's as well maintained as you can maintain something that age. It needs to be replaced, and that issue is not going to go away. And part of the reason that we got involved with Fair Oaks was to be able to provide an alternative to Donner Center, not only with respect to the meeting facilities that are there, which you know, are pretty heavily used in the community, but the administrative offices for the for our Parks Department. So, as I said, those needs are not going to go away, and we'll need to move on them at some point, but like I said, we're gonna wait until the coronavirus dust settles, and then we'll figure out what comes next and in what order.
You know, we haven't been able to talk about all the rallies and protest over social justice and fighting racism. And for those outside of Columbus who listen to this show, it's the first time we've talked about this. Can you catch us up on the atmosphere and the sentiments there in Columbus over what's been happening too across the nation?
Well, I think we're all a little, more than a little, chagrined at what we see on television or what we see on some of the recorded videos, whether it's on the social media or TV or whatever the source is. And we want to make, we want to be confident that, you know, we're as confident as we can that a similar kind of incident won't happen here. And so we've had a variety of conversations with people in the community as to what we plan to do, you know, in terms of just reviewing what goes on in our police department and, you know, making sure that they receive all the training that is appropriate to understand how to de-escalate and, you know, when to use force and when not to, and what kind of force to use when you do. And so far, I think we've been kind of heartened to realize that a lot of these points or stipulations have already been in place. You know, we've seen lists of 8 and we've seen lists of 21, and those, a good portion of them have already been addressed, you know, by our police department. So I think that it's as much an education campaign to the public as anything that, yeah, we're already doing a good portion of this. I will tell you that, there's a little bit more interest now than there had been before. Or before. I mean, we've had these conversations, you know, several times. But at this point, we've got a good portion of the public, here that is very, very much interested in this. And I think that we'll be able to come forward with some meaningful, you know, some meaningful guidance, some meaningful change that should address some of the concerns that people have. And I hope that points out to them that, you know, Columbus has always been a pretty good place to be. We're not perfect by any stretch, but we don't seem to have the adversarial relationship that exists in many of the larger cities. And so that's a good thing. You know, that's one more reason why, you know, a small town like Columbus is a desirable place to live.
I know we're out of time, but I did want to ask you about the, there's a community meeting about the public golf courses right. Coming up in July, this month. What's that about?
Well, we've got, back in January, the management out of Otter Creek changed, and what had been a board of directors that was appointed primarily by Cummins became a board of directors primarily appointed by the mayor, by me. Part of what that does is it makes some other changes. I mean, there's a ripple effect kind of thing. And one is that the city of Columbus now has 54 holes of public golf. You know, we've got 9 holes at a place called Greenbelt, got 18 holes of par 3 golf, and then 27 holes out at Otter Creek. And along with the responsibility to manage all those is also the responsibility to provide funding to the extent that it's necessary. And what we find ourselves in is a situation where we're spending a lot of money on public golf. We find our administrative activities are, you know, a little spread a little thin. We feel like we could do a better job if we, combined our, activities in one area and consolidated there and tried to get the efficiencies that come from having all your people and all your equipment and all your focus in one area. And so the question becomes, well, you know, which of the 54 holes are too many? How do we go about trying to right size this? And so we have come up with several different proposals for our group to consider. And we will discuss those on July 8th. There'll be a public information session at the Commons. We're going to be at 6:00 in the evening. Due to the coronavirus, we will, you know, provide for some social distancing. So I think we're going to be limited to about 90 people, plus or minus. But we will live stream this. So if you can't make it, you can follow along at home. The whole idea will be able to, we'll try to explain to the community the situation that we're in and some of the alternatives. And then I'll have a recommendation, you know, to present and try to explain the rationale behind that. And then That all is in anticipation of decisions being made by the Columbus City Council and the Parks and Recreation Board. I mean, the mayor doesn't decide. I get to recommend, but the decision rests with those groups. And we will have meetings later on. I'm drawing a blank on the time of the City Council meeting. I want to say it's July 21st. And then there'll be the Parks Board meeting. And I want to say that's the 5th of August. We'll have this public information session on July 8th. Then there'll be some further discussion at a City Council meeting on the 21st. And then further discussion at a Parks Board meeting on, I believe it's August 5th. But we'll have to confirm those dates and, you know, make sure that they're, you know, adequately posted so everybody who wants to participate can do so.
All right. Well, happy 4th. And I'm assuming, is everything canceled there in Columbus, or are there other?
Well, I think there's going to be a few private fireworks displays, you know, yeah. That we'll just sort of endure. But yeah, the big public displays are canceled. It's a shame because July 4th is a big day. It's our nation's birthday, and we want to be able to celebrate that. But it just doesn't make sense to do that in mass at this time. The sponsor for the 4th of July fireworks, the Cumix radio station, has indicated that they're going to try to reschedule this for sometime over the Labor Day weekend. So we can have some fun then. You know, it'll be a good alternative.
All right. Well, stay safe. Thanks for doing this, and hope to see you next month.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. Thank you.